to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we continue our series on the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Subtitle, Finding Joy in a Negative World. And we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17 in just a little bit. Tonight, the title of our lesson is, Who Are You Following? Who are you following? How many of you have ever played Follow the Leader? What are the rules for Follow the Leader?
Follow the Leader.
There you go. That's the basic one. Somebody's chosen as the leader. And everybody else has to follow the leader. Is that all there is to it? They just have to go wherever they go? And they have to do what they do, right? You go where they go, you do what they do. That's how you play follow the leader, all right? So basically, you follow whoever the leader is and you imitate them. Now, when we talk about life, who do we follow? Who do we imitate, whether it's deliberately or not? And not just think about right now, today, but through the course of our life, who do we follow and sometimes imitate?
Your parents.
Yeah, that's one of the first ones is when you're real little, you know, you look up to your parents, you end up becoming like them. Even, especially when your teenager says, I'll never do that to my kids. And then you grow up and you do, right? You know, our parents and also other family members. Who else do we follow and imitate? Yes.
Friends.
Friends. Yeah. All right. Who else?
Idols.
Idols?
Like baseball players.
Like American Idol?
No.
Okay. People that you idolize. Doesn't say to be a, but you know.
A big fan of.
Somebody you're a fan of.
Yeah.
Whether an athlete, musician. You know, our society, our culture seems to be big on following trends set by people that are out there in the, you know, I never would have dreamed years ago that there'd be such a thing as a social media influencer. People making a living just by posting videos and doing stupid stuff and putting, anyway, yeah. And they're actually called influencers. That's just all they do is through social media, they influence people. Well, we are influenced by a lot of people. Who should we follow?
Jesus.
Very good. All right. We can just close this up with prayer. You guys got it. No, there's more to it than that. So, yeah. Parents, relatives, friends, our culture, Jesus. Is this good or bad? It depends. Exactly. It depends on whether the person we're following and imitating is leading us in the right direction. And is doing things that in our imitation makes us into a better person or a worse person or involved in things we should be involved in or not be involved in. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight is who are you following? I want to give you a couple of examples or example and some principles from the Bible as part of our introduction. Genesis 3:17. God speaks to Adam. And he says, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. One of the first, if not the first, story we have of somebody following somebody else and they went down the wrong path. And that was Adam particularly following the lead of Eve into sin. Now, this verse is not a proof text to say that men should not listen to their wives. Although I'm sure there's been plenty of men that have tried to use that for that purpose. All right? But we don't need to follow anybody, whether it's our spouse, our boss, whoever it might be that's going to lead us away from what God says is right, good, and true, or into that which God says is wrong. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Proverbs 13:20 is probably the most well-known verse that deals with this kind of thing. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. All right. Well, Paul's going to be talking about this issue, about who do we follow. And you would think he'd say follow Jesus, and he certainly does say that all the time. But he's going to be telling us something else, too. The background to our passage tonight is, is that through the whole letter, but especially in chapter 3, Paul has been talking about really knowing Jesus. Not just knowing about Jesus and more facts about Jesus, but really knowing Him. Having a relationship with Him. Drawing closer to Him. Walking closely to Him. Becoming what He wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do. All right. So you would expect him to kind of just jump out there and say, so follow Jesus. And he kind of does, not in so many words, but he says something else instead. So let's read our text. We'll read the whole thing and then we'll get into the different details. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21, brothers, and that includes sisters, join in imitating me. He doesn't join in imitating Jesus. He says, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. All right, we're going to talk about a number of things tonight. The first thing on your note sheet is that our goal, and Paul's already been talking about this, is to become like Christ. Our goal is to become like Christ. And there's scriptures that talk about us becoming like Him in our character and in our service of God and all that kind of stuff. But when we get to the end of this passage, which we're going to look at the last two verses before we jump into the first ones, the Bible says that there are going to be even ways in which we'll be physically like Christ when we all get to heaven, like we sang about a little while ago. Look back at verse 20 and 21, where Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. So we work all life long to try to become more like Him in character and godliness and righteousness and holiness and the way we serve God, love God, and the way we love and serve other people. But one day we will actually become like Him, not exactly like Him because He's still God. But we'll have a glorified body. So our goal is to become like Christ. And as I mentioned earlier, everything that Paul said in this chapter up to this point supports this idea. In another letter, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. It may sound like a silly question, but why would we want to become more like Christ? What? He is our example. Okay, right. But why would we want to become more like Him? He's perfect. He's perfect. There you go. He does it all right. I mean, He's God. He's man. He's perfect. He's got perfect character. He perfectly pleases God. He perfectly serves God. So that's why we want to be like Him. The question is, how can we become more like Christ? We could probably make a long list of that, right? What are some ways that we can become more like Christ? What are some things we can do or whether to become more like Christ? Listen to Him. That'd be good. Yeah. What else? Okay, now you're listing characteristics, which is true. Be more of what Jesus is. More loving, more kind, more patient, forgiving, all those things. All right? What? Read His Word, which is tied into listen to Him because that's how He often speaks to us. Most often speaks to us is through His Word. Okay, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
His Holy Spirit.
Yes. And not only listen, but do what He says, right? All right, well, that's not the focus of this passage, but I wanted to throw that in there, all right? So our goal is to become like Christ. But as I said, you would expect Paul to say what he said in other places, to follow Jesus, and like Jesus says, follow me. But instead, Paul says, brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Versus, join in imitating me and other people who are living like I am. So number two, imitate those who follow Christ. So these are people that are following Christ. Paul is following Christ. Other people who are following on the same path are following Christ. But rather than just say, well, follow Jesus with me, he says, follow me. Imitate me. You know, to imitate means to become like. All right. Now he does use a word here, and he uses it twice. He says, keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example. And then in verse 18, he's going to talk about other people who are walking a different way. What does that word walk indicate here? How you live. Yes. Your lifestyle. All right. Just wanted to have that clear. He said, imitate me and keep your eyes on, basically to watch and imitate those other people who have a lifestyle according to the example, that model, that blueprint, that pattern for life that you see in me. So Paul says to imitate him and other people like him. Why does he say that? Why does he say, you know, to follow him, to imitate him and other people like him, rather than just say, follow Jesus? Any thoughts? Lynn?
Because he's confident
he has, I follow Christ. Okay, because he's confident that he's following Christ. And he does say that. In fact, on your note sheet, you have 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, follow me as I follow Christ, or other translations say, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now, that's good. And I like that he has that clearly stated there. And there's, don't follow me if I fall into a hole. Don't follow me if I mess up. Don't follow me if I give in to sin. But follow me as you see me following Christ. But let's go back to the original question. Why say that instead of just saying, you know, I'm following Christ, so just join me in following Christ? Why do you say, follow me? Lisa? There you go. Because they could see Paul. And they had known Paul. And Paul had established their church. And he had been through there a number of times. They knew what Paul was like. All right. Keep in mind also that when this was written, they didn't have the Gospels yet. All right. And even when the Gospels were produced, they didn't have printing presses and all that kind of stuff. And so it took a long time for what we now have as is God's word then, but what we now have printed as God's word would make its way around. All right. And it, so it's like, well, you know, I heard this story about Jesus. I heard that story about Jesus, but you know, there's no real cohesive. And so when you have someone like Paul or someone else who's known Jesus and lived for Jesus, served Jesus, loved Jesus. All right. You've heard the old saying, perhaps, that sometimes people need Jesus with skin on, you know? It's like, well, I understand Jesus. And even today, even though we have the Bible, even though we can sit down and read the Gospels and read what Jesus said and read what Jesus did and what he taught, it is still helpful to see it worked out in other people's lives. I think another thing that helps is the fact that Jesus is God and he was perfect. Seeing it worked out in other people's lives, it makes it easier, I think, for us to say, well, you know, of course Jesus did it perfect. He's God. But now I see this other person over there who's a leader in my church, or he's a godly person in my family, and I can see that they're living it out. If they can do it, then I can do it too, with God's help. Obviously, that's the only way any of us can do it, is with God's help. All right? Sometimes we just need to see how another normal human being does it. Right? Right. Now, Paul said this a number of times. I'm not going to read all of them, but another one is in Philippians 4:9, same book, same letter. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I think as I was doing my study, I didn't want to put them all in there and just kind of overload the note sheet, but I think it's like 4 or 5 or 6 different places in Paul's letter where he talks about following him, following others love and serve Christ. And you know, he taught Timothy, he says, listen, you need to teach what you learn from me to other people who can teach it to other people. That's how it's passed on. All right. So we need to imitate those who follow Christ. But the opposite is true too. And this is where we're going to spend a bit of our time. Number 3, beware of the influence of those who do not follow Christ. Beware of the influence of those who do not follow Christ. Verses 18 and 19. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. There's that word walk again. Their lifestyle is as an enemy of the cross of Christ. So basically he's saying we're going down a path and you've got a choice to make which path you're going to go on. Sounds like somebody else's teaching too, doesn't it? Jesus is, right? Jesus used the same illustration for choosing the path to life rather than the path to death. But he says, you know what? There are those whose lifestyle lines up with what Jesus wants and is like Jesus. There's those whose lifestyles are just the opposite. And you got to choose. And he says, watch out for these, all right? For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now he says, I don't think he's exaggerating here. I don't think he's trying to overstate the case to make a point. He says, I tell you this with tears. What is Paul sad about? What is he weeping over? Yeah, I think the same thing. I think he weeps over the people who have chosen the wrong direction. And one of the reasons is because he was one of them. You know, he was going the wrong direction. God got a hold of him. But I think he weeps over those that are going the wrong direction. Yeah, Lynn.
I think of those who may appear deceived by them because they are here.
Yeah, and you know, that was something that was a danger, has been a danger for the entire history of the church, but very quickly cropped up in the early church was false teachers. People that look good would get into the churches and begin to lead people the wrong direction. As Lynn said, the only way we can really know, or the way we should primarily know, is by comparing teaching and lifestyles to the Word of God. Okay? And he describes these people, the ones at least he's particularly talking about in this situation, in verse 19. He says, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Anybody know exactly who he's talking about? We know the category of people he's talking about. These are people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not believers. Does anybody know who he's talking about? Well, he has mentioned some other people that they should be watching out for and not be earlier in the book. Yeah. No, I'm talking about the people. He says, watch out for these people. Who are these people? False prophets, maybe false teachers. There's some other people that gave Paul all kinds of fits. We've talked about it before. They're called the Judaizers. We'll come back to that. Yeah, Felix? Hypocrites in the church. You know, all these people are people that Paul deals with from time to time. And he deals, you know, we talked about the Judaizers a couple lessons ago. He did say something specifically. It's very clear he was talking about the Judaizers. Now, if those of you are saying, Judaizers, Jesus, I remember, I don't remember. Who are the Judaizers? The Judaizers were the Jews who recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, okay? And then whether they were true believers or not, they would go around to the Gentiles, the people that weren't Jews, who become Christians and said, if you really want to be a Christian, you need to be just like us. You got to keep all the Jewish laws. You got to become circumcised. You got to keep all the festivals and the feasts and this, that, and the other. And Paul says, no, 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 no. It's all by grace. You know, all those things are great for the Jewish people. And Paul himself did all those things. He did all the things the Jewish people did. He celebrated all the feasts and all that because he was a Jewish Christian. But he says the Gentiles, those who are not Jews that become Christians, they don't need to do all that stuff. That's being under the law. Okay, so he's already talked about them, and some say, well, he's talking about the Judaizers here. And there's some things that sounds like it might be, but not real sure. But there's other things like that they say that doesn't sound really like Judaizers. But there's another group of people that he talked about a lot in his letters that are actually basically just the opposite. You got the Judaizers who are all about law, 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 keeping this list of rules, do's and don'ts, and all this kind of stuff, man-made stuff. And then you get a whole nother group that the technical term for is antinomianism. Or antinomians, okay? Okay, anti means against or not. Nomian comes from the word for law, not law. So you got the people that want to keep the law. You got just the opposite. And these are the people that said, God is so good. Jesus died for our sins. It's all God's grace. And so you can live like however you want because God's grace will cover it. Okay, so you got two totally extremes here. And because he doesn't name them here, he could be talking about either one. And to be honest with you, I think God left it that way so that we can just know that whichever way it fits, we got to watch out for it. Okay? We got to watch out for it. All right? So it could be Judaizers. It could be antinomians. It could be a mixture. But he does describe them here. And that's what we have in our note sheet here. Letter A, it says, those who reject what Christ accomplished on the cross. Okay, he calls them enemies of the cross of Christ. What did Jesus accomplish on the cross? Paid the price for our salvation. All right? So those who be enemies of the cross of Christ would be those who don't accept what Jesus did for us on the cross to purchase our salvation. It goes back to what Lynn said. They're not believers. All right? There could be another little nuance here because Paul has been talking about the cross of Jesus, that we, as we follow Jesus, need to be willing to follow him not only into the joyous, wonderful things that we talked, sung about earlier tonight when we talked about, you know, going to heaven and all that, but even going through suffering. So when it talks about enemies of the cross of Christ, it could be also talking about people that have chosen not to follow Christ because they don't want to suffer. All right, but it's talking about people who do not accept what Jesus did on the cross of Christ. Oh yeah, there's a lot of examples of this today. You know, if we look back at this and say, well, who are the groups that Paul's talking about? If you're talking about the Judaizers here, we're talking about the fact that they reject what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Well, that's because they're dependent on the law and on their own righteousness, and they can't do that. If you're talking about the Antinomians, they're basically saying it doesn't matter how you live and that Jesus' death didn't mean anything, but it still applies to people today. Anybody who chooses not to put their trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross would fall into this category. Yeah, Chris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. You know, there aren't any of the Jewish leaders in Philippi, but for people in Israel, the Jewish leaders that did not accept Jesus as the Messiah would certainly fall into this group for sure. So those who reject what Christ accomplished on the cross, and there are still lots of people today who reject, basically it's anybody who rejects Jesus, who he is and what he accomplished. Letter B, who will end in destruction. He says, these people that walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, their end is destruction. That's one of the clearest statements in the whole passage. If they choose not to accept what Jesus did on the cross, they're not saved. They're not going to be in heaven. They'll end up in hell. They'll be punished forever because their sin has not been dealt with. You know, we're talking about who will you follow, all right? You don't want to follow people who are headed to hell. And by following, I mean, you know, following their example, going the same path that they're going on. It makes me think of that statement that I think every single mother has said in the history of mankind. When their child has done something stupid because of a friend. You say, why did you do that? Because my friend did. If your friend jumped off of a cliff, I mean, hasn't it? But that fits here, right? You know, if you've got people that are going the wrong way, why would you want to follow them in that same path? I said, that's the clearest one. Letter C, who focus on temporal things that satisfy only physical desires. Where does that come from? He says here, their God is their belly. Okay? Some translators say their stomach. It doesn't mean that they're gluttons. It doesn't mean that they're fat people. It doesn't mean that they're people who don't know how to eat right. It's basically a way of saying these are people who live for their physical desires. Okay? So their physical desires could include eating, but what are some other physical desires that can lead us the wrong direction? Money. Sex. Pleasure. Drugs. I mean, there's so many things that appeal to us, and to put it in Paul's words, appeal to our flesh. All right? And he says people who focus only on what appeals to and satisfies, or actually leads that way, because nothing ever truly satisfies permanently. Okay. Those physical desires, they're headed down the wrong path. Okay. Who would fall into that category today? What are some types of people that would fall into that category today? Okay. Alcoholics, all right? Everybody who follows their own desires in all the different ways that we just talked about. I mean, our culture is just caught up in it. Do whatever makes you feel good. I mean, that phrase became really popular in the 60s, but it also was really popular in the Garden of Eden and all the time in between. You know, we follow our flesh, we follow the desires that we have that are not inspired by God in ways that break God's principles and laws and commandments, then we fall into this category. Those who focus on temporal things that satisfy only physical desires. And in this category would be those ones that I talked about that would say, you know, God's grace is so good, you can live however you want. Just do whatever feels good, because God's grace will cover it. You may or may not be aware of it, but this kind of teaching has had a resurgence in the last 10, 15 years. There's some very popular preacher teachers that are out there. It's called hyper-grace theology. Now, I'll tell you something. God's grace is phenomenal, and God can and will forgive anything, but that doesn't mean we should go out and test Him in it. You know, Paul was, I don't even know how these preachers and teachers can get away with preaching and teaching this kind of stuff when Paul says right in Romans, because of God's grace, does that mean we should go out and sin some more? He says, no! I mean, it's very clear. But there are people that go that direction. Letter D, another description of these people, who take pride in what should bring them shame. He says they glory in their shame. They glory in their shame. Glory in the freedom to live however they want. There's a lot of that happens today too, isn't there? It saddens me. I really want to have the heart of God and the heart of Christ so that it saddens me more than it angers me. But when you see people out there in the world who are anti-God and anti-godliness, and they flaunt their sin, and it's things that years ago, when our culture and our nation had a much more godly perspective, whether they were godly or not, it still was kind of rooted in our society, things that were considered shameful that now are not considered shameful. And not only are they not considered shameful, but they're just paraded and boasted about and arrogantly trumpeted in our culture. And it'd be very easy for us to get angry and that kind of thing. And sin should anger us, but it should also break our hearts because those people are in such a deep bondage they don't even realize. I think we should pray that God would give us the same heart that Paul says here, where he says, I'm telling you with tears. He hates that the people are in that situation.
They have no shame because of their pride.
Exactly. Yeah, they all tie together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that leads right into the last one, letter E, who focus on this world and what it offers. He said their minds are set on earthly things. They're set on what's going to make me happy now. What I want to do, what I feel is right, what I would prefer, rather than what God has to say. And again, this is just so prevalent. And it has, but it's just human nature. So what Paul's describing here is people who just give themselves totally and completely over to their human fleshly nature rather than pursuing what God has for us. Yes, Sharon. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, it isn't just that they've made those choices, although that is a very real part of it, because everybody's responsible for their own actions and what they do and say and all that kind of stuff. But there are spiritual forces at work. As Sharon said, Paul said in another place that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And this, again, another part that should really sadden us is the more that people give themselves over to sin and ignoring God's call upon them and drawing them, the more that their consciences can be dulled, the more that their hearts can be hardened, and eventually they'll reach a place of no return. It's not up for us to decide when that is, but they can reach that place of no return. Yeah. Chris.
Why is it just kind of sad?
I'll be honest with you, Chris, right now, just about every single month has something that's been given over to something that's totally ungodly. Yeah. So, but one thing we want to keep in mind, okay, and we talk about this a lot, is that we need to hate the sin and stand upon the truth of God, but yet love the people that are trapped in it. And that's a very delicate balance to walk. Okay? A very delicate balance to walk. Now, this, you know, the whole thing is Paul saying, listen, be careful who you're following. Okay? Be careful who you're imitating. Be careful who you're playing follow the leader with. All right? He was confident enough in himself because of Jesus, not because of his own pride. You can follow me as I follow Christ. All right. And I think the idea there was, if you see anything in me that's not Christ-like, don't follow that part. And other people like me who walk that same walk. But watch out for the people that are walking the other path. Okay? Now, it'd be very easy for us to sit here and say, oh, yeah, we got to follow this path and not the other. But we can all be drawn, maybe not in the same ways, to the same degrees, but we face temptations too. We face temptations to want to give into our fleshly desires, you know, to do and say things we shouldn't do, you know, that kind of thing. And so Paul says, you got to really watch this. And he's talking about people here, but we got to keep in mind that this influence is prevalent not only in the people that are around us that we choose to follow after or imitate, but other influences too. What are some other ways that we are influenced besides people? The things that we watch. What else? The things we listen to. Basically, any kind of sense, any way of bringing things into our lives. All right? And so I would say that even though Paul doesn't mention these things here, I think it would include any way in which we have anything coming into our lives that can possibly influence us. We've got to be very guarded about this.
All idolatry.
Yeah, and it's all idolatry. It is. You know, we think of idolatry as bowing down before some statue or something like that, but idolatry is basically putting something more important than God. Okay? Now, before we go on to the last part of it, this whole thing of who you are following, I wanted to throw this in, not necessarily from this passage, but how do we keep from being influenced this way? If Paul's talking about, listen, you're all under the influence. Of course, he talks about being under the influence of the Spirit. You know, are you being influenced by Jesus and the Holy Spirit or by others? And as you're living your life, you're drawn different directions. What are some practical things? Let's just try to brainstorm for a couple. What are some practical things that we can do to make sure that in our lives we're being influenced the right way, in the right direction, to follow Jesus more closely and not away from Him and not the world, the way of the world? What are some things that we can do practically speaking? Okay, so we got to ask God to help us, and He does it through the power and presence of His Holy Spirit on us. We've got to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Okay, what else, practically speaking, can we do to make sure we're influenced the right way, not the wrong way? Melva. I think I kind of understand where you're headed there. I see two things in what you're saying. One is just a basic principle, and that is to the best that we're able to determine what would Jesus do in a particular situation or with a particular thing or whatever, and to follow that example. But another issue I think you're bringing up there is that sometimes we might say, well, let's just totally stay away from people who don't want anything to do with God, Christ, or Christianity. But is that what God calls us to do? No, we're supposed to be lights in our world. We're supposed to be salt in our world. So we're supposed to be in contact with these people. All right? All right, anything else you want to throw out there, the practical ideas about how we can make sure we're being influenced in the right way? Lynn?
The Apostle Paul not only laid out and set himself right, but others can follow us as we follow Christ.
That's a good point. In fact, we're going to end on that tonight. When we get to the conclusion with the last passage of Scripture, but it can help us a lot if we realize that not only are we being influenced by others, we got to watch that, but we're influencing other people. How are we influencing others? If people followed our example, would we be leading them closer to Christ and closer to God or farther away? And that should give us some guidance also. Well, I threw out some things here, and this certainly is an exhaustive list, but some things I've found to be helpful. The first bullet point there is be careful what you feed upon. Okay? And what I mean by that, be careful what you take into your life. We said that we are influenced not only by people that we are around and we spend time with and all that kind of stuff, but anything that comes into our lives, into our minds, into our hearts, through what we see, what we watch, what we listen to, all that kind of stuff. So be very careful about what you feed upon. Okay? The second bullet point, maximize positive influences and minimize negative influences. And what I mean by that is that the only way we can get rid of negative influences is to leave this world. And we will one day, but God hasn't called us to do that yet until He calls us home. Okay? But we don't need to go wallow in a pigsty, right? So we need to maximize every positive influence in our lives and minimize the negative ones, whatever those are for you, all right? Maximize the positive, minimize the negative. The third one is similar, but has to do with people. Associate with more good role models than bad ones. You know, we were just talking about God does not want us to leave the world, to isolate ourselves, to cut ourselves off from non-Christians and all that kind of stuff. But make sure you've got good, solid Christian relationships with other people in the body of Christ, that you're being a good example to them, they're being a good example to you, to help outweigh and overcome and provide contrast to relationships that perhaps we have that are not the best of ones, okay? And there may come a time, there may be a certain person that you do need to cut off some contact with. You know, I've shared this before, but especially as a youth pastor, but it's true for adults too. You know, it's like, well, how do I know whether I should be friends with this person or that person, or spend time with this person or that person, and they're not a Christian or whatever? And my response always was, is who is influencing who? You know what I'm saying? If you are strong enough in the Lord that you are able to influence them to come closer to Christ, it can be a good relationship, although you still have to guard yourself. But if you find that you're around a certain person and they're constantly dragging you down, dragging you into sin and all that kind of stuff, you may either need to cut back or cut off that relationship, at least for the time being, until you're strong enough to handle that. But again, one thing that helps is to have a whole lot more good influence and good role models than you do the bad in your life. Okay? The fourth one is depend on God for strength, but stay away from areas of weakness. And what I mean by that is that it'd be easy to say, you know what? God's promised to give me strength. I can stay pure. I can live for Him. I can love Him. I can serve Him. I can overcome temptation. I can do all this. And all those things are true. But don't deliberately put yourself in a dangerous situation. Okay? There's an old saying that says, he who doesn't want to fall shouldn't walk in slippery places. You know, and it's true in different areas for each of us. If you've got a certain weakness in your life, there are certain things you shouldn't do, certain places you shouldn't go, certain people you shouldn't hang out with, that other people, it might not be that big a deal because they don't have a weakness in that area. All right. And so we don't need to become arrogant. You know, there's that other scripture that says, let he who thinks he stand, how does that one go? I didn't write it down. Take heed lest he fall. You know, being caught up in pride. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I didn't hit. Well, that's a different one. Okay, yeah, but you know, if we get caught up in pride, well, I can go anywhere, do anything, because God's going to help me. That is a truth, but yet if we're arrogant about it and we do stupid things, go places we... Yeah, anyway, depend on God for strength, but still, stay away from areas of weakness. And then the last one is focus on God and what He has for us. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says, keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on people that are like Jesus, that are headed the right direction. All right? And then that's a good segue into the last part here. And that is number four, be motivated by the future God has for us in Christ. Be motivated by the future God has for us in Christ. You know, he's talking about these people. They're headed the wrong direction. Don't follow them. Don't walk on their path. They're all about the here and now and what feels good for me right now. He says, but we've got a different path that's headed a different way that has eternal benefits and eternal results. And so it brings us back to 20. He says, rather than following this path away from the cross to destruction, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. He says, you know, all those people, they're focused on this world. They're focused on themselves. They're focused on what makes them feel good. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We are not to be focused primarily on this world and its priorities and its lifestyle and everything it has to offer. We should focus on our future. He said it this way in Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. A couple subpoints here. Letter A, we are citizens of heaven. Okay. We see this and we think of it as a nice picture, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is a good picture, but this would have had extra special meaning to the people in Philippi. You may or may not remember from an earlier lesson, okay? But every city and area in the Roman Empire did not make, not everybody in every city and area of the Roman Empire were all the people Roman citizens. Okay? There are only certain people that actually were Roman citizens. The rest of them were basically conquered peoples and under the subjection and all that kind of stuff. But if there was a city or a group of people that really pleased a Roman emperor or the Roman Empire or whatever, they would grant them citizenship. And citizenship had a lot of perks. In fact, you may remember from reading Paul's life, there were a couple of times he even called on that. He was a Roman citizen, even though he was a Jew. There were not nearly many Jewish people that were Roman citizens, but he was a Roman citizen. All right. There was one time they were getting ready to beat him. And he says, is this the way you treat Roman citizens? And the guy says, oh, wait a minute, let me back off here. Because this is a Roman centurion. He could have gotten a lot of trouble beating a Roman citizen that had not been properly tried. All right? And then when he was beat in Philippi, actually, okay, but he didn't say anything about it there for whatever reason. And the next day when they said, you know what, we're just going to let you go, just go. He says, no, this is how you treat a Roman citizen. And they got all scared, all right? But they had that understanding of a Roman citizen had a lot of rights. And Philippi was one of those cities where a lot of people were Roman citizens because that city had done some really good things. And the Roman Empire said, okay, we're going to make a bunch of you citizens. Yeah, some people had to pay money to become citizens. So when he talks to the Philippians about citizenship, they probably rightfully took at least a little bit of like, yeah, I'm a Roman citizen because that was a big deal. But he says, your citizenship in heaven is an even bigger deal. You know, and it overrides, it overshadows your citizenship to the Roman Empire. Okay, so we are citizens of heaven. B, we have an eternal relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Paul doesn't talk about Jesus being Savior very often. He always talks about Jesus being Lord. Okay, but he uses it here on purpose, I think. Right? We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Caesar was called a savior, all right? And most people referred to the emperor as a savior. So this is kind of Paul's ways of contrasting citizenship in Rome versus citizenship in heaven and looking to Caesar being your savior or being Jesus being your savior. He says, we have an eternal savior and a Lord, Jesus Christ. And then letter C, we will have a new and glorious existence with everything under Christ's control. He says he'll transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. The Roman Empire was very strong, but compared to Jesus and his kingdom, it's only temporary. And so another thing that can really help us is that as we're walking through this life and we're trying to live for Jesus, is be focused about the future. Focus on the future. Focus on what God has for us in the future. Okay? So Paul says there's two paths. There's a Christ-centered life or a self-centered life. And what we need to do is examine ourselves, and this is what he's calling the Philippians to do, is who is influencing us? What is influencing us? What are we doing to minimize those negative influences, maximize those positive influences? And then to wrap this all up, I want to go back to what Lynn brought up a little while ago, which is a very important point that Paul doesn't talk about much in this passage, but yet is a natural growth of it is that not only are we following people and imitating people, there are people that are looking to us and following us and imitating us. And if somebody does that, how are they going to end up? We'll finish with this last passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. Paul writes, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. He mentions both of them right there. He says, you came to know Jesus, and you started following him and following us as we're following him, but because of the work that God did in your life, now you've become an example. So that's something else to be thinking about tonight. Not only is what are we becoming because of who we follow and the influences we allow in our lives, but how is that then impacting people who look to us? And you might say, yeah, but I'm not a leader. I'm not an elder. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a deaconess. I'm not a teacher. You know what? There are people that look to every single one of us, whether it's family members, co-workers, neighbors, We have an influence on a lot more people than we think that we do. What kind of influence are we having? So that's something to think about. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had to look at this passage tonight. We pray that you would use it to continue to challenge us and to encourage us. Lord, it's an encouraging thing to think that as we follow you, you will use us to have a positive influence on other people. Our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, other family members, friends, co-workers. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us because we all struggle. Lord, we live in this world. It draws us. We have our sinful flesh inside of us. It draws us the wrong direction. But Lord, we also have your Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to empower us. So Father, help us to do all that we can to live a life that is pleasing to you, that follows the example of Jesus and other godly people who are following him too. And may we be one of those people so we can lead people in the right direction and live a life that is pleasing to you. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.